Yes, Acts chapter 21, and I'd like to speak to the subject tonight, when facing difficult days ahead, Acts chapter 21, and we'll pick up our reading in verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company or companions departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judah a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's sash or his girdle, bound him with his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this sash or girdle, and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard these things, both we and they that were of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. And Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and break mine heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. Let us pray here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have your word before us tonight, we thank you that it's the inspired word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, your word is true. And Father, as we gather around there tonight, we as your people, we all face troubled days ahead sometimes, difficult days. And Father, I pray that as Paul faced those days ahead of him, that Father, we may learn from his life and be more able to run our race with patience that is set before us. So Lord, bless this evening. Help me be a vessel that honors your Son and your word. And I pray, Lord, that each of us would have a heart to hear and perceive all that you have for us as your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, for Paul here, I'd like just to touch on some reasons. Now, he's just coming off his third missionary journey. He had one missionary journey, another missionary journey. This is his third, and he's heading back to Jerusalem at this time. And, what some journeys he had. I mean, talk about some challenges and just ministry opportunities. You know, it was said of Paul that, you know, they that have turned the world upside down have come here also. I mean, what a testimony for the Lord that Paul had. Now, I'd like to share some things about him going to Jerusalem. One reason he was going to Jerusalem, he was carrying gifts from the Gentile church. Because do you remember earlier in Acts when they said the famine was, actually it was Agabus that said the famine was coming and they were going to send relief? Paul had circled around these Gentile churches and taken up an offering. He wanted to himself to go and deliver it. Now, he could have sent it by a representative, but he wanted to be there to give this gift to the believers in Jerusalem. Now, why is that important? Well, Jews and Gentile, are they two separate churches or are they one in Christ? And the gospel came from the Jews to the Gentiles, and the least the Gentiles could do is to help the Jews who are having famine in that land to have their needs met. Out of gratitude, the Gentiles said, let's help our Jewish brethren. So that was a way of Paul unifying the church and helping them to come together as one in Christ. Well, that's one reason. There was also another reason going around. Who was Paul's thorn in the side that followed him everywhere he went and caused him all kinds of trouble? There was a certain name for this group of people. Who were they? The Judaizers. Yeah, the Judaizers. Yes, they were a thorn in Paul's side. Because what did the Judaizers say? You know, you have to, except you be circumcised, you cannot be what? Acts 15:1, you cannot be what? Saved. And Paul says, no. You don't have to keep the ceremonial laws to be saved. And he, you know, through faith in Christ and Christ's atoning work, you can be saved. So these guys were all the time dogging his footsteps. Well, Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem just so all the rumors. Now, do people spread rumors sometimes that aren't true about people? Can you think of anybody there's rumors flying right and left about? I mean, it's as true in Paul's day as it is in our day. There's a lot of liars out there, and they'll say all kinds. Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem to set the record straight, because there are a lot had been said about him that wasn't true. So he had the gift that he wanted to give. Now, what did Paul do to the church in Jerusalem before he got saved? What did he do to it? Right, but what they persecuted, but how does the scripture describe it? He what? Wasted it. You know, do you ever think about Paul might have thought himself, you know, I have done so much damage here to the cause of Christ in ignorance. Do you think it might have helped him somewhat to feel to do some good to God's people and to deliver this gift in person to the saints of God in Jerusalem? Do you think he would have felt some sense of redeeming himself in some kind of ways? That this is, I'm helping them I once hurt, now I'm helping them. So, yeah, when he was on this third mission, he's heading back to Jerusalem. Now, that's kind of the background. And we pick up the reading here. And when he was coming, unto us, that was back of us in verse 10, the prophet, and he had Paul's sash that went around his waist. So I'm not sure exactly how this happened, but Bagabus untied it. And he tied his hands, and I'm not sure how he tied his feet, but he tied himself like in bondage. Now, that prophet was trying to give what type of an example to Paul? A very visual aid. You know what I'm saying? Paul, I just want you to understand this. This is you coming up. Now, question here tonight. You are Paul. You just seen the prophet tie his hands and feet and says, if you go to Jerusalem, that's what's going to happen to you. What would you do at that moment? What would you think inside your heart at that moment? This is, and not only there, but over and over again, Paul kept hearing, you're going to be bound. He kept hearing everywhere he went. Now, what would you do? Anybody of Jonah's spirit? What would Jonah? What was his method of operation? He ran away. He didn't want to do what God said, so he ran away. Anybody here got clay feet? We can have a heart for God, but any clay feet people here tonight? Do you know what I'm saying? I think we could probably have some fear. But I think one thing we need to realize, and this is the position I take, every time a prophet, a man of God, told Paul, this is what's going to happen to you, it wasn't to prevent him to go. It was to prepare him for what he was to face. There's a huge difference. You know what I'm saying? There's a huge difference between telling, I'm not telling this to prevent you from going, Drew. I'm telling this so you can be prepared. Now, can anybody remember after Paul was blind on the road to Damascus, who was the man of God that was told to go and see Paul? Who was that? Do you remember his name? What was his name? No, not Cornelius. Ananias, yes. Yes, Ananias. And there's something Ananias said to Paul. I think it's in Acts 9 here. I wasn't going here, but let's see. I just want to pick up this little phrase. Yes, Acts chapter 9. Verse 16, Ananias, this is what he told Paul. God told Ananias to tell Paul, well, let's back up verse 15. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, bearing my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must, what's that next word? Suffer for my name's sake. That was from the very beginning, that was Paul's calling. Now, Bagabus coming to him saying, Paul, you're going to be bound. If you go to Jerusalem, this is what happened to you, you're going to be bound. Paul got that because God was preparing him for what was he's facing. Now, you hear those words. There's something when we face difficult days we have to come to. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Philippians here for a minute in a verse that puts Paul's heart and perspective here, how he processed this. Philippians 1:12. When you're facing difficult days, verse 12, Philippians chapter 1, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto what of the gospel? Furtherance. Now think, stop right here. So if Paul's going to Jerusalem and he gets bound, can that be for the furtherance of the gospel? Can it be? Absolutely. It can be. Now, on a human level, Paul's thinking, well, I've just had one missionary journey, two missionary journeys, three missionary journeys. Who knows? I might take a four, but if I'm bound as a prisoner, boy, my missionary career's over. How is that for the furtherance of the gospel? And see, sometimes we don't understand how we can be bound, but guess what is not bound? The Word of God. See, we can be bound, and what does Paul say further? He says, even though I was bound, the Word of God wasn't bound, and others were much more bold. When they saw that I was in prison, that encouraged others to go where I couldn't go. I couldn't do it, so they said, Paul, you're here, you're in prison, I want to go now, because the Word of God wasn't bound. And so we have to have that perspective when we're facing difficult days that this has happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, what if you have the mindset it's all about me? Life's all about me. Everything that happens should revolve around me for my good, my pleasure, my happiness. Is that a very good way to live your Christian life? But what if you say everything that happens to me is for the furtherance of the gospel? Then that's a whole different perspective to have. And Paul could say, I can go bound to Jerusalem because I know that somehow God's going to use that for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, he says back over in Acts something else here that I think is worthy of picking up here. Okay. Verse 13, because when they heard this, and they loved Paul, he was a man of God, and he poured out his heart for them. What mean ye to weep and break mine heart? I mean, they were putting the pressure on him. You ever had somebody put you the pressure on you? I mean, they were like, Paul, don't go. And he loved them, and they loved him, and they were putting this pressure. And they were just like, Paul, you just can't do this thing. We don't know how to live life without you. Paul said, don't break my heart here. Now, this was how he processed. He knew it was furtherance of the gospel. For I am ready not to be bound only, as Agabus said, but also to what? What's that next word? To die. Now, think about it. How did he process? For me to live is Christ, to what is gain? To die is gain. He had already in his life gave his life to God. God, I'm yours. Whatever you want from me, however you want me to live, I'm yours. When did God, so to speak, purchase Paul? When did God put his stamp on Paul, so to speak? When was Paul redeemed? On the Damascus. But who appeared to him? The Lord Jesus. And what did the Lord Jesus do for all humanity? He died on the cross. The Lord Jesus gave his all for Paul. And Paul says, Lord, you gave your all for me. I'm going to give my all for you. And I think when we get to that point where we just are God's servant and we realize that Christ owns us, and no matter what happens to us, it turns out for the furtherance of the gospel, we can be at peace with what happens in our life. When difficult days come, we have to realize, one, it's for the furtherance of the gospel. Two, that God owns us, just like he owned Paul on the cross when he died for him. As Christ died for him, Paul died to himself, and he lives for Christ. Not only to die at Jerusalem, for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, how solid was he in verse 14? How had Paul driven that stake that I'm Christ's servant, and you can't change my mind? How deep did that go in verse 14? How deep? He wouldn't what? You couldn't change his what? Couldn't change his mind. You know what we need? We need some men and women of conviction. They know what they know. They know what they believe. And they're not going to change. And Paul wasn't going to change, whether through convenience or whether through persuasion or whether through just getting away from personal troubles and pain. No, no, no. He wouldn't be persuaded. And so where do we all should end up at the end of verse 14? What does it say? Where do we end up at? The will of the Lord be done. That's where we end up at, as God's people. God's will be done. And for Paul, he thought it was God's will. Now, race ahead a little bit. We're going to jump ahead, but we're going to cover a lot of verses between here. But I just want to pick chapter 23. Paul is arrested in Rome, I mean in Jerusalem. In verse 11 in Acts 23, it says these words, "In the night following, the Lord stood by him." Now see, when they arrested him, they almost pulled him in pieces in verse 10. The soldiers took him by force, brought him into the castle. And that night, God had a word for Paul. I just want you to know something here. "Be of good cheer." Called him by name, "Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so thou must bear witness also at Rome." In verse 11, was Paul in God's will? Absolutely. Absolutely. When facing difficult days, one, know it's for the furtherance of the gospel. Two, know that Christ died for you and we should give our all. And three, that when difficult days come, doesn't mean we're out of the will of God, but God has a plan for us. And part of God's plan for Paul was to bear witness at Rome. Now, I have a question for you. Who was at Rome that Paul bare witness to? And think this thing through. He appealed. There's a lot of process here, but when he finally got to Rome, who did he appeal to? Caesar. Who was the Caesar then? Nero. Do you know how bad Nero was? He was a bad guy. But in the love of God for Nero, now it says in the scriptures that many of Caesar's household came to faith. They were the guards that guarded him. So this imperial army that was around Caesar, you know what they go? They go all over the Roman Empire, these men traveling. Paul won them to Christ, so as they did their military travels, guess what? When they went, guess what went with them? The gospel. Paul couldn't go, but here's Caesar's soldiers going all over the gospel, taking the gospel all over the kingdom, the Roman world. But Nero, he was not a good guy, not at all. But guess what God did for Nero? He sent him, the Apostle Paul, to bear witness at Rome. What if Paul said, "I'd like to talk to Nero about Christ, but I have no way to do it. How will I ever get an audience for him?" But God says, "I got a way, and this is how it's going to happen." And it wasn't the way that Paul thought it would happen, but that's how God in his providence. "Thou must bear witness also at Rome." What does Philippians 1:12 say? What does that say again? Philippians 1:12. "For the furtherance of the gospel." And so when difficult days come, But I would, ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. So when difficult days come, Paul has a difficult day. Now, we had something happen in our country today. What happened today? Inauguration. As a Christian, do you think some difficult days might be heading down our way? I think so. But guess what? It's nothing new to the Christian. Paul had it in his day. We're going to have it in our day. But know that in God's providence, this could happen for what? The furtherance of the gospel. And when we're facing difficult days, we have to realize Paul didn't understand what all this all meant. But God had a plan. And when God has a plan, we have to... lost my verse here. Here it is. Verse 14. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. That's where it has to end up. God's will has to be done. And we surrender and rest in that. Now, the will of the Lord be done. Does that mean you always understand what God's will is? I don't always understand. But I know one thing. God's much wiser than I am. And he moves through eternity, and I don't. And I can trust him. So it can happen when tough days come, when difficult days come, we can know the will of the Lord be done. Well, let's pray here this evening. Dear Lord, I thank what we looked at here tonight. And Father, when we face difficult days, help us to know, Lord, that it can work out for the furtherance of the gospel. And Lord, that we need to die to self and self-will and live for you and surrender our lives to you. And when we do, God, even though difficult days come to us, Lord, as you assured Paul that as he testified you in Jerusalem, he would also bear witness to you in Rome. Father, may your will be done for our nation. May your will be done in each of our lives, for our country. And Father, we are your servants and your people. So help us toward this end, God, to trust you, to know that you work all things together for good when we face difficult days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.